Hey everybody, welcome to the 16-Bit Catholic Podcast. I am Dustin Faber at 16-Bit Catholic on Twitter. And hey, you're not James Ryan. You don't have a scraggly beard and a stunning physique of a man.
Well, maybe I do. They don't have a picture of me.
Are you telling me you have a beard?
I mean, no.
Can you grow a beard like James? He has a glorious beard, by the way.
Does he?
My missing co-host.
I have like three chin hairs. Does that count?
You know what? I guess I will allow it. That is my wife, Alicia Faber. She's filling in because James Ryan and Dr. Girlfriend, they got married.
Woo, they tied the knot.
So do we have to call her Dr. Wife on this show now?
I mean,
we were calling her Dr. Fiance.
Well, since we know James' last name, we could call her Dr. James' last name.
Oh, no, we try to put, we respect her too much to
drag
her name through this horrible show sometimes.
So, oh, I wonder if she's going to take his last name. Probably not, if she's already a doctor.
She's the doctor. He's just a schlub that works for her.
So. He's just the companion.
He's, yeah. He's, you know, some couples, the husband's the doctor and the wife works in the front area. As the receptionist, it's the exact opposite for them. Apparently, James is the receptionist, and
no, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Does he really work for her?
Yes, he does. Yeah, they work.
That's
together.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's
I know actually a few couples like that that are doctor and office manager pairs.
Yeah. So I think that's great. He's a Dr. Girlfriend.
So she's also Dr. Boss then.
Yeah, she runs the show. So James Ryan, if you're listening, which why would you? You just got married a few days ago. Go do something else besides listen to
this
podcast.
You have much better things to do than listen to us whining on the internet.
It will be around. He did say he was going to do, they weren't doing their honeymoon until like March or something, but he's got the whole week off of work. I'm like, no, dude, you're not doing a podcast.
He's just napping.
Just watch this baseball game that's on TV right now and just enjoy being married. The podcast will be here another day.
But he's just walking around the house in his undies.
He might do that anyways.
Eating nachos on the couch at noon and then taking a nap.
I want to get married to you again if that means we can do that.
I mean, do we not do that?
Oh, I guess maybe we do.
We have no pants Saturdays.
Oh, yeah, that's fun, except for when my parents come over to visit.
Oops.
Which I try not to run around without pants as much. Now our daughter's like 6 years old. It was fine when she was like 2 or 3 years old, but now she's like learning about the birds and the bees, which
I've certainly bought you more shorts in the last 4 years.
Yeah, we got ambushed with that sex talk today, by the way.
Yeah, we had a very interesting sex talk. So Lucy asked for more answers. I had been pushing her off with things like, we'll talk about it when you're older. And that's something that grown-ups do. And she finally got me today. I couldn't back out of my argument. She said, but Mom, I am older.
Yeah. We were taking Snowball to get neutered, and now he's just Snow, apparently.
Oh, I forgot to tell you the reason that she asked that originally. Would I do that? She asked why I would do that to a human.
Mm-hmm.
Or why we would do that to an animal but not a human was because I was teaching her about diversity and discrimination based on, would you call the cops on a black person, but would you call the cops on that same action for a white person? And so that's how I was explaining bias to our child. And so she asked me, would we neuter a person the way we were neutering her cat? And that's how it started.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Isn't she a little ethicist?
That got real, real fast. I was not in the car with you. I really wish I was, though, because
I almost wanted to, like, pull over and put you on speakerphone.
I wish you would have. That would have been great. So, so it's not that we're not, like, scared to talk to our kids about this stuff. If anything, I'm probably a little too open and honest about bodily functions and adult behavior with our child, but
you still have to temper your conversations with the 6-year-old. I made her promise that she wouldn't tell her classmates.
Oh, thank you.
About what we had talked about, because I didn't want her to ruin the option for those parents to talk about them. I didn't want her to be the girl who told everybody in class about sex.
Yeah, that would not work out, because it was her cousin that told her about sex. She's not going to say your cousin's name or anything. Which
she has lots of cousins. On.
But she said, oh, such and such showed me. And you were like, what? And she said, well, he said that you do push-ups.
She thinks push-ups.
So it's like, oh, no, dear. So that cousin's mother, she got a phone call today about that. But speaking of phone calls, it has nothing to do with what we nice want to segue. Talk about. But we finished up with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, all five seasons this evening. Well, I need to clarify that you finally finished up all five seasons
okay. of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Let's just get this out of the way. Every time Dustin watches a Michael Shore show, I don't want to watch it with him.
And then sad.
He's moaning and whining about how come I won't watch this show with him, which makes me not want to watch it more. And then I'll watch an episode because we're just hanging out and I like it.
Yeah, you'll get completely hooked on
and
it.
And then I will binge watch the entire series in like a week.
Well, it happened first in our marriage. It was not a Michael Shore show, but I was watching Friday Night Lights. And I was like, oh, you should watch the show with me, hon. You might like
it. And I was super uninterested. It was football, nothing really special to me.
But then season 3 comes around, and you're watching every episode with me.
Yep.
I never tried to get you to watch The Office, because I'd watched pretty much all of that, and that was kind of on the back burner for me.
Well, that was on years ago. Before we got married. Yeah, so
I watched most of it before we got married.
Yeah.
And then I started watching Parks and Rec. I got through 3.5 seasons of that before I finally convinced you to watch that with me.
Did I refuse to watch Parks and Rec with you originally?
Just like, all these shows, you were just like not interested in them. You're just like, that looks okay. I mean, I think your words were, I'll sit down and watch it if I'm in the room, if it's on, but I'm not going to make time to watch it. I'm like,
yeah, for
okay.
some reason, they're just, these shows that you like, I don't think I'm going to like,
yeah,
just based on like the genre, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I fall hook, line, and sinker, like, yeah. And I will, I don't know if you guys understand how many episodes of a show I can watch in 1 week.
Probably a lot more than me.
It is probably unhealthy. Yeah. Actually, it's definitely unhealthy.
Well, then, yeah, so you, I watched all the episodes of season 1 of The Good Place, and I said, there's kind of a cool ending to the first season, you should really watch it with me, and you started watching that with me, and it was great. And then, it was right around the time that Brooklyn Nine-Nine got canceled, I kept seeing people talk about how great the show was, and I guess I'm a bandwagoner, because I jumped on right as season 5 was ending, but I binge-watched all of that on Hulu. And could not get you to watch that with me at all. I said, hon, I'm going to start watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Do you want to watch this movie? You're like, no, that's okay. And then this summer,
you would think I would be okay with that because I like Andy Samberg. I've seen some of his stuff and he's funny. And Terry Crews is like awesome.
Oh my God.
And so you would think that I would have been on board for this show. And I was just like, eh, whatever. Yeah. I got better things to do with my time. I got kids. I got work. I got stuff to do. No thanks. Yeah. And then same thing happened. You're watching an episode. We're sitting down having lunch together. And you're like, well, I'm watching my show. You can sit and watch it.
Yeah.
And I was hooked.
But Nine-Nine made me kind of sad because I got through all five seasons of that. And I love that show so much. And it made me sad that you were not experiencing that with me. So then when you finally decided to watch all of it through again, I totally watched all of it.
You watched most of it with me. I mean, I watched a few episodes, you know, when you were working and stuff. But you would make sure to tell me when to stop before, you know,
like,
you watch this.
This is a good plot twist. You need to let
this next episode.
This has an emotional impact for me going back to childhood. This means a lot to me. But so when his new show, Abby's, with Neil Flynn comes on in the spring, you're freaking watching that with me the first episode.
Well, here's the deal. It's got Neil Flynn in it.
Yes. Our son is named after Neil Flynn.
Our son is named after Neil Flynn.
Which is a weird
coincidence. And it's a Michael Shore show, right?
Yes.
So it's kind of got two check marks. So I guess I have to sit down and watch it. And I will commit to watching the first three episodes with you in order. So that way I don't just watch the first episode and be like, yeah, sure, I'll watch it later.
For some reason, I thought you were about to say, I'll commit to watching the first three episodes of season six of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And at first I was like, what? Oh my God, what are you talking about? And how much you love this show. And you're only going to watch three episodes in the new season with me. But
oh no, I'll watch it live too, because then... I don't know how the ratings work, but I want the ratings people to just know that I'm watching it.
Just leave it going on the TV, even if we are DVRing it to watch. So that out of the way, like I said, I can't pat myself on the back too much because I waited through five freaking years before watching this show. But I've got to say, it's right up there with Doctor Who for my absolute favorite show. I thought maybe I liked Parks and Rec better than Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but after watching all five seasons of Nine-Nine, I feel like I give the slight edge to Nine-Nine just because of the diversity that they have and some of the emotional issues they hit on that really resonated with me, whether it was Terry dealing with racial profiling, Rosa coming out as bisexual, Charles loving his best friend more than life itself. Like, all those things are things that really resonated with me in ways that most shows don't, especially comedies.
I think you stopped so abruptly because I gave you the look to let me talk, and then you stopped so abruptly because you actually finally got the cue that it's time to let me talk, and I totally blanked on what I was just going to say. Oh, the Brooklyn Nine-Nine versus Parks and Rec. I think the reason, because I also feel like a little more of a connection to Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think it has to do that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is real and funny, and like Parks and Rec is funny and then real.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make any sense to anybody out there in the world?
No, I think that makes sense because, like, they're hitting on...
There's dramatic content, you know, there's real issues that are kind of the front issue of the episode, whereas Parks and Rec, which I love, it's certainly, like, these two shows are, like, top five now in my life, probably.
Yeah.
But with Parks and Rec, it's almost a comedy first. And I feel like Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a comedy, but that's not its first note.
Yeah, it hits more. I don't know, like Parks and Rec seems like it takes place in a world like far, far away.
Like, right, or like a little bubble, you know? Like,
yeah, but then Brooklyn Nine-Nine feels like it's more in the real world, which I guess you could say, well, they don't show a lot of the harder police issues that, you know, people are dealing with, and maybe Brooklyn Nine-Nine is way too optimistic for a show that deals with cops and police issues, but they did a really good job at hitting on some of those things. I feel like that would be an unfair criticism that I just made up in my mind.
And they also seem to find a way to deal with interpersonal relationships more like than the police work. It's not a show about police officers being policemen. It's about police officers being people.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. So on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the first episode you really watched with me was Jake and Amy's wedding.
Okay, so right.
You knew that was going to happen. That was not a big surprise to you.
Right. Spoiler alert. Spoiler, everybody. So, yeah, one of the first episodes that I really sat down and watched with you was Jake and Amy's wedding. And I didn't know where that went in context to, like, the relationship. And so when I started watching the series again, or from the beginning, I guess, because it's still the first time. I've still only watched the whole series one time. So for me, I was waiting the whole time, like, when will they get together? When will they get married? What happens to build their relationship? It's like, it's meeting somebody and knowing them as a couple, and then going back to find out about how things started. You know, like if somebody met us now and asked us to tell the whole story of our lives.
Yeah.
So I actually kind of like that I saw it that way. And I just smile through the whole episode when they get married.
Oh, their wedding is great. I loved it. I was spoiled on that too, just because when I went to go watch the show on Hulu, it defaulted to like the final episode that said like Jake and Amy's wedding or something. I was like, oh, well, I guess I know how that was going to work out. So I kind of had that same journey with you. But did you think that Charles and Rosa were going to end up together? Because they kind of hinted toward that at the beginning that something could happen.
That Charles was really in love with Rosa.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like a whole first season was building towards it. And then they just dropped it.
I could see them maybe going on a date or two. But I think right from the beginning, you see that Rosa's a different kind of person than Charles is, and that is no way directed towards her being bisexual. Yeah. That is not at all what I meant there. I just mean she's, you know, dark, intense, and very serious, and Charles is kind of goofy, and, you know, he's a foodie, and she's totally into her bike, and
she's alpha and he's beta.
There are worlds in which those relationships work.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see that being a long-standing relationship. They certainly make good friends,
yes,
excellent co-workers, but I could see how that would not make a sustainable relationship right from the beginning.
Well, because in that first season, I thought that's how they were going to pivot to that, where I thought, okay, this is going to be your regular old sitcom where, you know, the two
on again, off again,
polar opposites, they finally meet up in the middle. And I was like, it's kind of a tired TV trope, but I was very pleasantly surprised watching it. They didn't go that direction. Instead, they just show them as friends instead. And I feel like that's a great thing to have on a sitcom, showing that men and women can just be friends. It doesn't always have to turn into something romantic. He would help her with her romance. There's that one episode where she's where he's teaching her how to text to her boyfriend Marcus at the time.
Oh, that was so cute.
He was like, and it worked. He helped her say romantic things, and things got steamy thanks to Charles's help.
She really grew. They kind of, I don't know, in the beginning I feel like she was a very solitary character, and she really kind of grew as a character to be more open to the squad as her family.
And that's the same with Captain Holt, too.
Oh, Captain Holt, I love him.
He really grew, and there's one cold opening. I love it. I think it might be my second favorite cold open. It's where Jake thinks he's going to slide across the whole
full
office,
bullpen.
The bullpen. But then Captain Holt's in the elevator, and Jake is like sliding into the elevator. You think Captain Holt's...
So they waxed the floor, and...
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And they're all huddled in the corner of the office like, okay, what are we going to do? And he says, I'm going for it. I'm going for the full bullpen. And Sock slides across the floor. And at the last minute, the elevator door is open and Holt's in there. And everybody is just like, oh, no, we are so deep in trouble right now. Mm-hmm. Elevator doors close. They open back up. And Jake and Holt walk out. And you just know, like, they are all in so much trouble.
Yeah.
And then...
And then what does Holt say?
You can say it.
The full bullpen! He holds his hand up like
the
referee.
The champion. It just showed that his character grew and really embraced being part of a family. You know, for a character who was always outside of his squad.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he wasn't the leader, he was always being pushed outside of his squad, who's supposed to be your team, your family, you know?
Yes.
And they excluded him
yes.
for so long.
They showed his old, like, they would show flashbacks with his old co-workers because he was an openly gay cop in the 80s and
90s. And black in a world where there were a lot of white people
then. He often felt excluded. They show one clip where he's like, oh, hey, do you guys want to go golfing? And they're like, yeah, do you want to be the caddy? And he's like,
yeah, right?
No, I don't want to do that. So what is your favorite non-Halloween episode?
My favorite non-Halloween episode. I'm trying to think of which episodes I smile through the whole time. See, now I already want to rewatch it. This is what happened with Parks and Rec, too, was I watched it once through with you, and then I was like, let's watch it a million times over, and now I want to do that with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I've done that with three shows where I finished watching it and immediately rewatched it again. It was 9-9, Parks and Rec, and James and I have talked about this before, Ash versus Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah.
I still want to get you to watch that show. I don't think I'll have
any luck on that. No, I'm not going to watch it.
It's a little too bloody.
What did I watch? One of the movies with you, right?
I made you watch Evil Dead 2 for Halloween last year.
Yeah, it was gross. No, thank you.
It was great. I love that movie so much. I wish Bruce Campbell could show up on 9-9. He would be great as like a cocky, arrogant.
Could we get Bruce Campbell and Neil Flynn to do anything together on TV? Because that would be amazing.
What if they were buddy cops? Buddy cops with Neil Flynn and Bruce Campbell?
Yes.
Oh, that would be best thing that'd in the world. Awesome.
Internet, make that happen.
We need this to happen.
So my favorite episode might be Jake and Amy's wedding.
Oh wow, you really love that episode then.
Yeah, it's so, the thing I love about that episode is that the way like that they're so cute together.
Yes.
Like, they just really do love each other, and it's like a personal episode. It's not a work episode. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's there for them, and I don't know, I just smile the whole time, and I think about our wedding and stuff like that. But there are a few episodes that I really liked, you know, way back. I love when the mattress.
Oh, yeah, he commits to buying a new mattress for Amy.
And it's just so sweet. He didn't want to give up that bachelor life, and his mattress was horrible.
It was. They found a mattress in the dumpster. And
that was the like, same one as his.
Looks like yours. I have three favorite episodes. There's two serious ones. The one where Terry deals with racial profiling.
Oh, man, that one gets me hard.
Moo Moo in season four. That one's really good. The episode where Rosa comes out to her parents.
Yeah.
Because you really get to see how good of a friend Jake is in that episode.
I really liked that episode a lot. And it really kind of, seeing Rosa decide to come out and the way her parents reacted, it really kind of helped me understand what it's like for somebody to go through that journey on their own, mm-hmm. you know, to actually come out as bisexual and to say, like, I'm not just gonna say I'm straight anymore because I'm not. I'm not gay. I'm not straight. I'm bisexual. And to see that and to understand it from the way that they explained it, I think was, like, really eye-opening for me. And then, you know, we talked, I don't know if you've ever talked about it on here, but, like, there, she wrote an essay, Stephanie mm-hmm. Beatriz wrote an essay a while back about being bisexual and being married to a man and how she's still bisexual even though she's marrying a man. And it's really cool that they brought these layers into this character and were able to generate such a layered person for us to relate to, because we already loved Rosa. Right? And that's what this is. You know, you love somebody and they are something or they're not something. And either way, you still love them. And that's what Jake proved in that episode. And her parents weren't there yet.
No. And her dad even admits that, too. He's like, I'm trying to understand. And then she's like, well, I guess that's going to make game night kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
because she was getting so close to her family. Yeah.
And he's like, we're not gonna do game night. Yeah. And that really made me sad. And then you cut to the next scene and it's Jake knocking on the door and he's brought everybody over
for family game night.
And it's beautiful. And and the thing I like about that a lot is that you don't see a lot of bisexual characters on TV. No. There was the one actress in Bones, like, years ago, who was that? Who was the Bones?
Was it, the one that married the curly-haired guy?
Yeah.
Was her name Angie or something?
Yeah, Angie married what's-his-name, and she was bisexual. They didn't talk about it a lot, but they did show
that's
her
right.
Dating.
She was, you know, an artist and stuff, and so that was a very kind of a stereotypical presentation. It was like, oh, I was an artist, and I dated women, mm-hmm. but yeah, that's, I mean, can we name more than four bisexual characters? What?
I remember Brittany on Glee was bisexual, but they didn't really, like, talk about that. And they, Kurt on Glee, I pulled the quote up, he just said, bisexual is a term that gay guys in high school use when they want to hold hands with a girl and feel normal. And they don't really rebuff that on Glee, like, ever. Like, yeah. Nobody ever says, hey, Kurt, you're full of crap, dude. That's not how that works. And I think I read something where the creator of Glee made him gay instead of bisexual because he wanted the gay kids to feel like, oh, Kurt's one of us. But it's like, well, what about the bisexual kids? You know, like, why is that part of that character being erased? Like, I don't know. It feels like. And then a lot of times you see in, well, man, this conversation really went crazy in a hurry. But
well, it started off with our six-year-old asking about sex, so.
Well, it seems like you see it a lot of times in comedies, and I even saw it on Modern Family this year. It's like, is this character gay? I might be gay. I might not. Or I might be straight. I don't know.
Right, like there's only two options.
And it's like, I know that's a real thing that people go through, but it just, it was really nice to see that third option presented on TV when you don't really see that at all. And right. That's just one tip of the diversity iceberg. That's a show that's got two black leads and two Hispanic women as right?
the
characters.
I mean, just the makeup of the... The, not the crew, what's the word?
Cast.
The cast, thank you. The makeup of the cast, like, that's something that, I don't know if other people notice or not, but I love seeing that.
Yeah.
It's so much more real life, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, you walk into an office and there's six white guys, you know, like, but we aren't all white, you know?
That's why it always drives me nuts when I see reruns of Friends. I was like, really? You had to make all of them white? I'm like, okay, I get this is the 90s,
yeah.
And black people on TV wasn't allowed in the 90s, I guess, unless you're on Martin or something.
What, Ross had one black girlfriend?
Yeah, she was like a professor. And then they tried to impress this black girl, like, on a sub, or who was moving in, and Joey and Ross get into an argument, and she leaves when Ross says, well, you're on a poster for gonorrhea or whatever.
Oh, I remember that.
And then she leaves. And that was like the only black people
right.
that I saw. Which I watched an episode of that show the other day. It was so cringeworthy.
David Schwimmer's been in the news today. Did you see that?
Yes. There's like a person who was stealing a bunch of stuff in England
looked
that looks
so
just
much
like
him.
But so it's just, it's nice to see how diverse it was. And now that I've seen all of these episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine two or three times through, probably four or five times through, because my job is stressful and watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine reruns at night gives me a little bit of joy and lower blood pressure. But I can see why Lin-Manuel Miranda and Mark Hamill were so pissed when they canceled the show. Because Lin-Manuel Miranda, when they canceled Brooklyn Nine-Nine, when Fox did, and then NBC picked it up a day later.
Thank goodness.
Lin-Manuel, he was so mad. He's like, I only watch four things on TV. This is one of the things I watch. Why are you not bringing it back?
And NBC's Hamill, like, it's okay, Lin. We'll take it. And then you can come and do a show on our show.
Because NBC even said if they knew that Andy Samberg was going to be like the lead on that show, they wouldn't have never let the show go to Fox. Because NBC, I guess, produces the show.
That's
and it
funny.
Just airs on a different network. But now it's back.
Isn't
on
that
NBC.
Funny that they were like, oh, no, we're going to pass. Oh, wait, Andy Samberg's doing it? Oh, I guess I should. But if they would have just gone with it, you know, it could have been a huge hit for them.
Yeah. Who woulda, coulda, shoulda. Oh, and the third favorite episode, I got sidetracked, was this episode with the amazing Sterling K. Brown.
And oh, yes.
Being interrogated. And, like, the whole episode is just Jake and Holt trying to interrogate him, and it was really cool to see how Jake's mind works through, like, the whole interrogation process.
Well, and you were so mean to me because I had seen a picture of the Brooklyn Nine-Nine crew at a Comic-Con, and there was a picture of Sterling K. Brown with them and Doctor Who or something, that Jodie Whittaker. And so,
oh, I gotta tell you about that in a second.
So I had seen that, and you kind of, like, were elusive about whether or not Sterling K. Brown was on the cast or if he was a guest star, which is good on your part because I hate spoilers
yeah.
so bad. And not even just spoilers.
The trailers spoil things for you.
But I hate the implantation of a thought that could lead to a spoiler. I'm not even kidding you guys. He gets so mad at me.
I cannot say anything about anything, so I keep it vague.
Right? So then he, like, leads in, like, oh, yeah, you didn't know he was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Like, he's on one episode.
Yep.
One episode, but it was a really good episode.
And then, yeah, we were talking about those pictures of Comic-Con. Jodie Whittaker, who is the new Doctor on Doctor Who, said that, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is her favorite show. So, like, the cast and crew of my two favorite shows in the world, Doctor Who and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, are fans of each other.
Isn't that so cool?
Oh, my God. Because I was wondering, like, why is Jodie Whittaker... How did she end up posing with the Brooklyn Nine-Nine crew for these photos? Like, how did that pairing get together?
Right, like, who stood in line for who is what I want to know.
And then I read in interviews that she said if she was, like, a character, she'd be an Amy Santiago on this show.
Aww. I love Jodie Whittaker in the new Doctor Who.
She is. Now that we've finished Brooklyn Nine-Nine, we can probably catch up on
Doctor Who. Oh, yeah, because we're behind on Doctor Who because we've been trying to binge through the rest of this season because I'm addicted to it. Because that's what I do. Yeah. I consume food and TV shows like it's nobody's business. And so now we can finally finish Doctor Who. We did watch the pilot episode, or the premiere episode. Is that what it's called? Yes. Premiere? And I really like Jodie Whittaker. She's, I mean, great. I know that's not what we were talking about tonight, but I really like her. I like her energy. I liked the first episode so much more than I liked the first episode with Capaldi.
Yeah.
I was hesitant for Capaldi.
I don't like the writing they gave Capaldi.
I think that's
I felt like he deserved better. Maybe he'll return in like some like a special.
He had some good episodes.
Oh, he had some episodes made me want to cry. That one where he sees himself in that flashback with Tennant.
Oh yeah.
Where like he's trying to figure out like why do I have this familiar face? And it's like to help somebody.
I know.
Oh my God. Tearing up on this.
That was a really good one.
But did you see the historical figure that's on this week's Doctor Who?
I don't remember.
Rosa Parks. It's like a whole episode about that.
No, and I didn't see that.
It's like actually it's supposed to be really, really good.
Oh, Lucy might like that. She's super into that.
She
loves Ruby Bridges.
Ruby Bridges, our daughter, we speak very frankly with our daughter about...
everything.
Everything, yeah. There was a few weeks ago, I won't go into too much detail, but somebody, and I don't know who, I don't know where she heard it, what setting, but somebody tried to tell her that, like, all the Jewish people were white,
man.
And then all the people in Egypt were black, and it was the black people treating the white people badly. And
yeah, somebody. I'm hoping somebody got their wires crossed somewhere with retelling of the story, and maybe the picture that they were looking at had somebody looking a little darker than somebody else, but it messed her up.
Yeah, we had to like talk like, well, it wasn't because of race. I was like, well, like, those weren't white people back then. Like, white people, we showed her pictures of, like, what Middle Eastern people look like. I was like,
this is what people in Egypt look like. They're not, like...
That's not a black and white thing. And I feel like I don't want to say anything else because I might say the wrong thing. And I don't want to get in trouble for that. But I was like, well, that just
But so we
like
had
you're...
to re-talk about all of the racial stuff that we had taught her already. You know, we talk about equality and not non-discrimination and she was a little wrecked. She didn't understand because we had explained so much about how, you know, for so long black people were mistreated and how we don't believe in that kind of action.
Yeah.
And so she was very confused, and so I think she'll love this Rosa Parks episode. I hope we'll have to watch it first to make sure it's not too scary, but she loves Ruby Bridges, and she talks about Ruby Bridges all the time and how it's not fair that somebody couldn't go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks me things about that all the time. I have to actually do more research because she's asking me all kinds of questions.
The thing that also made that hard is she's still at the age where she's young enough not to know that some adults are full of shit.
Right.
Like, that's having to explain, no, some adults are wrong about stuff. It's like, you know, everybody had that moment where they realized, oh, grown-ups are full of crap sometimes. Like, that's not, that's a horrible lesson we have to learn. Hey, the Red Sox just won this baseball game, by the way.
They won?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Up 2 games to 9. Sorry, James. James Ryan is a huge Dodgers fan.
Oh, sorry, James.
This game hurt his heart. He's weeping and gnashing his teeth right now.
With his underwear and his nachos, and now he's crying. Great. We just ruined his honeymoon week.
We have to pre-screen the Doctor Who episode, because one time we watched Doctor Who in front of Lucy when she's probably like 2.5, 3 years old.
She was little, like 2.
And somebody's like hand gets severed off, and she sits there and just goes, it's like, oh my god, we're raising a serial killer.
It was probably bad timing. She was probably laughing about something else, but we definitely do pre-screen a lot of shows that we let her watch that are not generally accepted as children's shows.
Now, before we go, I had asked you what your favorite episodes were. Well, Kyle Helmick, the amazing Kyle Helmick on Twitter.
Hi, Kyle.
He asked, what's your favorite Halloween episode? Very timely, Kyle, because Halloween is next week.
I'm going to say hi to Carrie, too, not just Kyle, because I just said hi to Kyle, but I also want to say hi to Carrie, and they are very nice people.
They have a podcast.
Do they?
Yeah, we need to listen to it together.
That's so bad that I just didn't know that.
Sit down as a family to watch it and listen to it together.
I'm going to start putting podcasts and Audible books in the car on the way to school and making our children listen to it. I should make them do the rosary on the way to school.
That would be a good idea.
Because the ride is like exactly as long as a rosary.
I say we do Kyle's podcast and then the rosary. Priorities. No, I want to get like a fireplace and we set the fire and the whole family gathers around and we turn on the old crackling radio.
The Ovaltine. Yeah. Drink Ovaltine.
And then it's Kyle and Carrie Helmick talking about God knows what. It'd be a beautiful thing. But he said, what's your favorite Halloween episode?
Okay, so I've been thinking about this and I'm trying to decide between 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 Halloween episodes.
You only got 5 to choose from.
Okay, so my top 2 contenders are the first one, because it's, like, brilliant.
Yes.
Just brilliant, right? Okay. The whole concept. And then my second option is the one when Amy swoops in and steals it right out from under their noses.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. But my favorite is probably that first one, for the reasons that you said. And the fifth one.
The heists are dumb. Oh, yeah. The fifth one?
Yes. The fifth one where she gets the plaque and he says, what does the plaque say?
I forgot about that one.
And she looks at it and says, will you marry me?
Oh my gosh.
But there was no winner to that heist.
There was no winner. There was a winner.
It was
true love.
But for season 6, since it's debuting in January, it's not Halloween, and I guess they go by like the real calendar. So the producers said that they do have something that works as a Halloween episode, even though it's not Halloween time,
okay.
Which I don't know why they can't just show Halloween in April. Like, we watch movies with Christmas and like June
all the
and
time.
July, so why not? You know, why not? Our kid watches Frosty the Snowman in February and March.
I mean, I watch Christmas movies all the time.
Yeah, I sing Christmas music all throughout the
year. Shout out to The Family Stone and The Holiday.
Those are good movies. What's that Thanksgiving movie you watch with pre-Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr.?
Robert Downey Jr. is like a baby in this movie. It's called
Home
for the Holidays?
Yeah.
But not the one that Jonathan Taylor Thomas was in. What's that one called?
I'll Be Home for Christmas.
No, it's not. Is it?
Yeah, I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Jonathan, so it's called Home for the Holidays, I think.
I know, because I watched that movie like a gajillion times in college.
And it's got Holly Hunter.
Yes.
Right? Not Helen Hunt. Holly Hunter. Do I have that backwards?
Home for the Holidays movie. It is 1995. Holly Hunter.
Holly Hunter.
After losing her job, making out with her and making out with her soon-to-be former boss, and finding out that her daughter plans to spend Thanksgiving with her boyfriend, Claudia Larson faces spending the holiday with her family. Directed by Jodie Foster.
Oh yeah,
Holly Hunt, Robert Downey Jr., and dreamy Dylan McDermott.
Okay, listen, Dylan McDermott is like one of my top, like, crushes. Like, I've had a crush on him for my whole life, probably. Like, he was also in that Christmas one. What's that Christmas one the with Susan and they redid it. Oh gosh, I'm sorry guys, my brain's not working. Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I love that one. And so I've like loved him that long. And so he's so dreamy, but here's the thing that actually kind of circles back with this movie, this Home for the Holidays. First of all, it's got like a baby Claire Danes in it too, and like Robert Downey Jr. is like, I don't know, like so cute. But this is one of the first movies that I remember where there was like a normalized gay character, because Robert Downey Jr. is gay in this movie, and he marries his boyfriend Jack. They get married. Is like one of the, you know, kind of the sidetracks to the story when you're Thanksgiving with your family and all hell breaks loose, and that's one of the things that comes up. They think that Dylan McDermott is with Robert Downey Jr.'s character. The two of them come off of a business trip and they're like, what happened to Jack? What's going on? Why are you, you know? And really, he likes Claudia. So yeah, so that's one of the first movies that I remember being just, you know, a normal thing that there's a gay character. And that's kind of funny that it circles back like that. But yeah, I love that movie. It's such a funny movie.
Well, before we go, people can find you on Twitter at Allie Waite.
Yep, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Allie Waite, A-L-L-I-W-A-I-T.
My Instagram game is weak.
Your Instagram game is so weak. It is bad. I tag you every once in a while.
One social media network is enough for me.
Yeah, you're like all Twitter all the time.
I deleted a bunch of tweets that had the F word in them tonight, by the way.
That was smart.
I went through, like, there's only like a few of them. It's like,
did you use the search bar and just like type the F word in the search bar?
Yeah, you go from colon 16-bit Catholic and then you put in whatever word. And I took out pretty much all instances of the F word except for the ones that are like really, really happy when I'd be like telling Jen like, oh, F yeah, congratulations on this. But anything that was like even slightly mean towards anybody, I deleted that. I was let's clean this up a little bit.
Yeah, like, I tweet occasionally. I'm usually on Instagram. It's easier because I can take a picture and write less words. But my hashtag game, I like hashtagging.
It's a good hobby that you have, dear.
It is.
I am at 16-bit Catholic on the Twitters. And next week, James Ryan returns. And he and I will be talking about Halloween candy, Halloween movies, Spookcast is what he called it instead of a podcast. That's so lame, James. Come on. He's married. I can't really make fun of him. What's your favorite candy before we head out?
My favorite candy Halloween is candy, that is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups all year long, especially at Halloween. I, in fact, will trade my children for Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Like, I will give them other things for Reese's Cups in exchange. So, if you feel obliged to, you know, partake of sending me gifts, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups will do the trick.
My best candy I ever got in Halloween was the thing of dots.
Ugh.
I love the dots. One of my favorite candies, though, is black jelly beans. And you know what? Guess what? If you're a kid who loves licorice and black jelly beans, it sucks because nobody gives that out for Halloween.
No, they would get their house egged.
So if we live right now where we can't, we don't have trick-or-treaters, but if we did, I would actually have like a separate bin that just said like, for the kid who likes black licorice, like, here's the bucket. And so if a kid came up, was like, oh, I really like that, he could get some of that for himself. But anyways, but yes, I am at 16-Bit Catholic. Follow me on Twitter and Brooklyn99. We love you, and we look forward to season 6.
But if somebody from Brooklyn99 wants to tweet at me, I will totally tweet you back. Or you can find my Instagram, and then we'll become besties.
All right, everybody, have a great night.